May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. It's so good to see each one of you here this morning with us, and especially for those of you who have young children who are probably not going to make it through the rest of the service without making some noise, it's okay. Don't worry about it. They can stay. You don't have to leave. Some of the rest of us probably want to make some noise too. Restore us, O God. Restore us, O God. That's what we've been looking at throughout this Lent season. And I'm having trouble here with my mic cord. This idea of God restoring us or restoring things to how they should be, that things aren't right. And I think we see that as we look around our world, as we look around our own lives, if we look in our families, our schools, our places of business, all the places that we spend time, we recognize that things aren't always as they should be. And we ask for God to restore us, to make us alive again, to bring new life back to us, back to things that are dead. Today's sermon is called Things Are Looking Up. And as you heard the story this morning, and if you've been reading some of the scriptures throughout the week, you find for the disciples, many things aren't looking up. Many things are going downhill for them. They've been experiencing the loss of Jesus, Jesus' arrest and His suffering and His death. And it's interesting to note as you read throughout the Gospels and look at the story of Jesus' arrest and His suffering and His death and His resurrection even, the disciples don't expect all those things. First of all, they don't expect Him to be arrested. But the thing that just surprises me every time I read it is they don't expect Him to come back to life either. That's not something they're expecting. Even though Jesus told them multiple times, even though Jesus told them over and over again, I'm going to need to die, but I'm going to rise again. They didn't expect that. And maybe that's what we need to experience in life too, to recognize that there are things in our lives, there are places in our lives, there's relationships, there's dreams and hopes that we have that at times die unexpectedly. And some of those things, as they are put to death, as they are taken away from us, sometimes they will rise to new life. What is dead can be raised to new life again. This first passage that we're going to look at this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This idea of being of us having been put to death with Christ and then being raised again to new life. Paul says that because we've been raised to new life with Christ, we are to set our minds on things above. Everything about this earth, everything about this temporary earth, all the things that we might put our attention and focus on, these things are not the things that we're supposed to focus on, that we're supposed to put our attention on, that we're supposed to put our minds on. Instead, our minds are to be on things that are above, heavenly things. Our minds are to be on the things that would be on Christ's mind, the things that will live forever, the eternal things, the things that last for eternity. These are the kind of things that we're to set our minds on. Not the temporary things of this earth. Now we're going to come back to this passage when we get to the end of the Matthew passage this morning. I want to start with this word. And this is what the angels told the women to do. To tell the men, to tell the disciples, to go to Galilee to meet Jesus there. Now you might be wondering, where are they at that they're being told to go to Galilee? If you remember what happened just prior to the resurrection story, Jesus and His disciples are in Jerusalem. They're not in Galilee. And as Jesus is crucified, we don't know for sure exactly what the disciples did. They ran, they fled, they were in hiding when the women come to them finally. But we don't know exactly where they're at. We think they're still in Jerusalem. But Jesus tells them to return to Galilee. Now, what's so significant about Galilee? We'll get to that in just a bit. Matthew 28, the story of Jesus being rising from the dead. After the Sabbath, which was Saturday, at dawn on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which is why we celebrate on Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I've always wondered who that other Mary is. Any of you... Anybody here known by that name, the other Mary or the other Madonna, maybe? There's a number of Donnas in this congregation. The other one. We wonder who that might be. They went to the tomb that morning early, Now, what we find in Matthew, and this is different than some of the other gospel accounts, that there was a violent earthquake. Even the earth, the cosmos, everything, the created order was affected by Jesus' resurrection. A violent earthquake took place because an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I find those details very interesting. When I first read this, I think that the earthquake took place as Jesus rose from the grave. But we're not necessarily given that indication here in Matthew. Instead, it seems to be as the angel comes down from heaven that the earthquake takes place. And he goes to the tomb, rolls back the stone, and does what most of us would do after rolling back a stone. He sits on it. He sits on the stone. His appearance was like lightning. Anybody ever seen lightning here? Lightning here is beautiful. My family is originally from Ohio, and we see lightning there, and it kind of lights up the sky, and you see a flash of lightning, but you don't actually get to see it light up the whole sky. Out here in the Midwest, you get to see the whole sky light up from end to end and all the way down to the ground. Lightning is amazing. Just imagine someone, some being, an angel, whose appearance was like lightning. Not just shining just a little bit, not just glowing, but just lighting up everything. Terrifying, really. And that's how the women experienced this angel. His clothes were as white as snow. We find that the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. That would be the appropriate response to seeing this angel. To shake and become like dead men. Now, it's interesting that the guards don't get the same word that the women get. They aren't told, "Do not be afraid." I wonder if that's because this messenger isn't coming to tell them a message. They don't have to hear this message at this point. Instead, the angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid," as the angels say to just about everyone that they deliver a message to throughout the New Testament. "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." And that's what the women were coming to do that morning. They were coming expecting to find a dead body, a body that they could anoint and prepare for burial. They were not expecting to find an empty tomb that morning. They were expecting to find death, just as it goes in our world today. When someone dies, they stay dead. But the angel says, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." And that's a good reminder to us as we look throughout the Gospels how many times Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die and that he was going to rise again. Just like he said. He did it exactly as he said. "Come and see the place where he lay. But then go quickly." Notice the angel doesn't let them stay too long and ponder and figure out what's going on here. The angel says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples who are in hiding at this point." Notice that it's only the women who are brave enough to go out and check things out. The men are all in hiding. "Go and tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The instruction is, go to Galilee, and the promise is, there you will see him. And then the angel finishes with this, "Now I have told you." Or in the version that was read this morning, "I've delivered my message." The angel says, "End of message, now go. Get out of here. Go deliver the message that I've told you to give." So, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They're not sure quite what to do with this message yet at this point. They recognize that something amazing has happened. They've encountered an angel that looks like lightning. They've seen it or felt an earthquake. They've seen the guards shake and fall. They're not exactly sure what to do with this message. They're still afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. But before they get there, suddenly Jesus encounters them and says, "Greetings." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them the same thing that the angel said to them. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be filled with joy. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So that's the word. That's the message. Go to Galilee, and there you will see me." So what is Galilee? What's the significance of Galilee here? Well, as we read throughout the Gospels, we find that Jesus spends very little time in Jerusalem, which is where he's at in his last week of his life. He might visit Jerusalem a couple other times if we read throughout all the Gospels. But most of his ministry takes place in Galilee. This is where Jesus grew up. Jesus grew up in the area called Galilee. Jesus lived most of his life in Galilee. Quite possibly he never left Galilee until his ministry. And most of the miracles that he performed, most of the teaching that he did took place in Galilee. And most of that time was spent with the disciples in Galilee. So I don't know exactly what is meant by this, but I have a couple guesses that I'd like to give to you this morning. I think Galilee is a familiar place for the disciples. I think Galilee is a significant place of remembrance, of memories, of reminders of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. I think for the disciples, the last 2 days have been very unsettling for them. Made them question that, was Jesus really the Messiah? Is this a person that we really want to continue to follow? Their faith has been shook. You could even say that their faith has died. Their faith has been put to death. What they believed in is no longer alive. So what we might say, along with Jesus, is going to Galilee is seeing life where you've seen it before. So for each one of us here this morning, we're in all different stages and places of our faith walk. For some of us, the early faith that we've had has died. Our faith has changed. Maybe we've experienced things in life, we've seen things, and we don't know how to explain them anymore, and some of the lessons that we learned in Sunday school just don't make sense anymore. And our faith has died. Our faith has been put to death. I think one of the things that we can take from this story is to return where we first saw Jesus, where we first experienced Jesus. Maybe for some of you, it's returning to certain places. A couple years ago, I was at my niece's high school graduation party, and the party took place at the church that I grew up in, the church that I attended vacation Bible school and Sunday school and probably even nursery. It's a significant place of development in my faith and all the people that poured their lives into all of us growing up there. And after the party, I slipped off and I was in the back of the sanctuary just standing there, and I was just overwhelmed with this experience or this feeling of God being present. And I don't think that God is necessarily only present in sanctuaries, but in that sanctuary, God seemed really, really present that afternoon. And so sometimes we need to return to some places, some physical spaces that bring back those memories, that re-stir up our faith again and remind us of the faith that we've been given and the faith that we've been able to live out as we follow others who have faithfully followed Jesus. Another thing you might be able to do, because some of us can't return to those early places of faith. Maybe they're not there anymore. Maybe they've been refurbished or remodeled or changed or taken down. Or maybe they're too far away. So maybe for many of you here, it's returning to passages that have been really important to your faith walk. Remember when you were younger and you were asked, what's your favorite Bible verse? And you were able to quote it. And you were able to say, this is my favorite verse. And maybe it doesn't have the same meaning to you anymore that it once did. But I encourage you to return to those verses and be reminded of what drew you to Jesus in the beginning. Maybe another way of returning to Galilee, to those places where you first encountered Jesus and you first followed Jesus, is just to spend some time this week or this afternoon remembering those who have led you to faith. Those who have poured Jesus into you. Those who have showed you an example of who Jesus is and how to follow Jesus faithfully. Maybe just remembering them. And remembering their words, remembering their smile, remembering their walk, remembering their example, as a way to return to Galilee, and as Jesus says, there you will see me. There you will see Jesus. I said I would return to the Colossians passage. The Colossians passage shares some significance for me. It was a passage that I was reading on a very warm, humid morning in Kentucky in the mountains. It was very humid. I had a fitful night of sleep, and I was serving as a camp counselor that day. And as I was getting up to take a shower, I turned on the water, and it literally dribbled out of the spigot. I did not have my mind on things that are above. But I had a bookmark in my Bible in Colossians 3 because that was a passage that was familiar to me, a passage that was important to me. And as I went to that passage that morning, not really thinking about what I was reading, I heard these words come out of my mouth. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And it reminded me, memories came back of the people who had taught me those verses, who had showed me how to set my mind on things above. So I encourage you this week, in the months to come, the rest of your life, to be reminded that you have been raised with Christ and to set your hearts on things above, returning to Galilee, returning to those early places of faith, because that will help you see Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the many experiences we've had throughout life of being brought to faith, being raised in the faith, being taught the faith. And God, we're thankful for everyone who has gone before us, who is continuing to lead the way. We thank you for your Son's death and the resurrection of Jesus and the power of that resurrection that is available for us to live our lives of faith as well. Lord, help us to be reminded of the places that we have seen you early in our faith, to encourage us, to challenge us, strengthen us to continually follow you, the risen Christ. For your glory, amen.